Looking this morning in our continuing study of the Revelation, Revelation 1. And I'm taking the title from the first part of verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Everything I can think of about describing the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the faithful Savior. He's the faithful Mediator. He's the faithful Redeemer. He's faithful to the Father, faithful to His covenant people. Great is thy faithfulness. So the title of the message is Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He's the faithful prophet, preacher of the gospel. I like that word faithful. It describes our Lord who's faithful to His Father, faithful to His people, our salvation. Now think about this. Our salvation, the total of our salvation, He is the Omega, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first and the last of all of our salvation. All of our salvation is based upon His faithfulness. Think of it. His faithfulness, not ours. Now, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. But thank God our salvation is not based upon our personal obedience, but rather upon Christ. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. We read this scripture, Galatians 2. Let me just read it to you. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That's good news. The faithfulness of Christ. Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, repeating from what I said last week, this book we know as the Revelation is a revelation, as it says in verse 1, Revelation 1:1, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole record of Scripture, the book we call the Bible, begins with Genesis, ends in the Revelation, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega of all Scripture. In all Scripture, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning at Moses and all the Scripture, He expounded unto them in all things concerning Himself, as our Lord said to those two men on the road to Emmaus. Now let's go back to verse 4. John was a chosen apostle. John was a sinner saved by the grace of God. And John writes this revelation of Jesus Christ that God gives him. He gives it to the seven churches. The seven churches. The complete church. He's writing to all who have ever believed the gospel. He mentions these seven churches in verse 11. And we'll look at that at some point. But the point I would make here, that number 7 is the completeness of God. The Lord Jesus Christ sends the letter of the Word of God to His complete whole body called His church. The word church simply means called out. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of sinners called out of darkness into His marvelous light. The seven churches which were residing in that time, these local congregations in Asia, and then he said grace. Grace comes from God. Grace doesn't come from John the Apostle. Grace comes from God. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Grace comes from God in peace. Grace and peace from Him, which is God is love. God is gracious. God is because He is. He is the eternal, ever-present God, never changing. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. The God that is, that always has been, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Which was eternity past, which is to come, eternity future. He was, He is, and He is to come. That covers everything, doesn't it? He is the eternal, unchanging God from the seven spirits, that is God the Holy Spirit, the complete, powerful, almighty Holy Spirit, the seven spirit before the throne of God. Now, gospel blessings flow from the sovereign throne of the everlasting triune God unto his people. That word throne, as I said earlier, is given to us 31 times. Just like the number 7 is given unto us 31 times. And these blessings flow from God the Father, who chose us in that eternal covenant of grace. He blessed us according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, as we read a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 1. It's God the Father who had chosen us. And then it's God the Son who has redeemed us. God the Son who has redeemed us from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness who has redeemed us. He purchased us with his own blood. We read a moment ago from Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we're accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his what? Grace. His grace. The Son of God purchased us, redeemed us with his own blood, and God the Holy Spirit makes application to our soul in regenerating grace. You happy quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. When the Lord was teaching Nicodemus about the necessity of the new birth, he said, you must, not an option, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, you must. And he said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, nothing. It profits nothing. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, I love this statement that's given here, which is to come, which is, which was, and is to come. Look down at verse 8. It says it again. He said, I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending. He's the beginning and ending of everything. Everything. The first cause and last end is all of God. The beginning, the ending, the Alpha, the Omega, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and he's to come. He says it again down here in verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha, Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write it down and send it in this book. Thank God we have his word. What a privilege. What a blessing God gives to us. He's the Almighty. The last part of verse 8. The Alpha, the Omega, beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come. The Almighty. The Almighty. Lord God Almighty. We read it a moment ago. Don't turn them and read it to you again. Revelation 4, verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and he's to come. The Lord is coming back. We wait, we look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am that I am. Almighty God, he said, beside me there is no other. When he appeared to Abraham of old, he said, I am Almighty God. Now, just saying that he is God, that's good and that's true. But I like this word, Almighty. Almighty. Not just mighty. Almighty. He has all power in heaven and in earth, and he exercises all power in heaven and in earth according to his infinite wisdom. He never makes a mistake. All power. He said to Moses, I am that I am. We read in Isaiah 57 that God inhabits eternity. Was eternity past? Is to come, eternity, future, and right now, present. God is unchanging in his character. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Saying the same thing. The Almighty God, ever-present God, all-knowing God, never changes. He's the one who rules and controls all things. He's the beginning. He's the end of all things. And everything in between. Everything in between. And then from this one who is almighty, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, who is everywhere present, he said, grace to you and peace. Now, this is the one who is almighty who said, grace to you. Now, if God said, gracious to you, mark it down. He is gracious. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. That's sovereign grace, but he will be gracious. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Grace and peace come from our great God. Now, we can't overemphasize this, can we? Salvation is all of God's grace. Grace to you. Grace comes from God the Father. Peter said, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. Romans 11 tells us there's a remnant according to the election of grace. 1 Peter 5 describes the grace of God as from the God of all grace. The God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's the God of all grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. This grace comes from the Almighty God who was and is to come. That means his grace is eternal. That means his grace is eternal as God is eternal. And then he mentioned this word peace. Peace. Peace from him, the Almighty God. Peace is always a result of God's sovereign grace. It's always grace, then peace follows. Those who know the grace of God enjoy the peace of God in their heart. Romans 5:1 said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How's this peace made? How are sinners who are in enmity against God by nature, how are we reconciled unto God? How is peace made? Our Lord made peace for us with his own blood. That's the good news of the gospel. He's not only the God of all grace, in Romans 15:11, he's called the God of peace. The God of peace. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, he's called our peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, he's called the Lord of peace. Hebrews 7, verse 2 said he's the King of peace. Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Prince of peace. He is our peace before God. We have grace because of him. Now the God of peace, Hebrews 13, the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's a God of all grace, the God of all peace. And then, not given here, but in other places, he's called the Father of mercies. Now, what do sinners need? They need grace, they need peace, and they need mercy. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. He's called the Father of mercy. 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, rather. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the one who is our Savior, Redeemer. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We read a moment ago, I read to you from Lamentation 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. Now, look at verse 5 and 6. And I believe this is one of the most comprehensive statements declaring unto us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the faithful witness. A witness is someone who has seen something, knows something, and is able to describe something truthfully. He is the faithful prophet of God. And he's the first begotten from the dead. God raised him from the dead. He's the Prince of Peace. But he's a prince of kings. He's king of kings and lord of lords. Unto him, this is unto him that loved us. It's unto him that washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, it's everything that he has done in his faithfulness. He loved us. He washed us. And then over verse 6, he made us. Now, you can't take that scripture and no matter how hard you try to turn it or twist it or stand it on its head, you cannot make that say that salvation is by what you do. Can you? I mean, if you do, you've twisted the scripture to your own condemnation. It's unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin, and he did it in his own blood. And he made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He made us who were lowly beggars. He made us kings. You're looking at a king. I'm looking at some kings. And he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Now, who gets the glory for all this? Now, what does it say there? Unto him be glory and dominion. Dominion is his power, authority, forever and ever, which was and is to come. Almighty God. Now, we see in verse 5 and 6 who Jesus Christ is. We see what he has done, and we see what are the results of his work. Those three things. Who he is, what he's done, and the results. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, ask somebody over in town, and you might get a dozen different answers from a dozen different people. Many have varied opinions of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Our Lord said one time to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Well, they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Isaiah or another prophet." Our Lord turned and said to them, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Oh, you're the Christ of God. You're the Christ of God, the Christ of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ." He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord, not by what we do. God made him both Lord and Christ. You remember Peter said in Acts chapter 2, God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. For to this end, to this purpose, Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord. Romans 14:9. So he is the Christ of God. He is the Lord, and that name, Jesus, what does that mean? Savior. He is what he's called. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. And he's the Christ. That means he's the Messiah, the anointed Messiah. He's the Christ of God. Anointed, he's the anointed mediator, the surety, the substitute, the advocate, the intercessor, the redeemer, and deliverer of his people. Who cannot fail. Who cannot fail. He is the Christ of God. He is both the Son of God and the Son of Man in one blessed person. That is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then it says there, he's a faithful witness, verse 5. He's a faithful witness. He is God's prophet that was promised to Moses that God would raise up and reveal unto us the way of salvation. Now the prophet sent of God, who's going to reveal us the way of salvation, he tells us what that way is. Remember? John 14:6. I am the way, he said. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. He is the faithful witness who declares himself the way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, it says, it describes him not only as the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful prophet of God, priest and king, sent of God, the faithful witness of the way of salvation and righteousness established in Christ Jesus, and he's the first begotten from the dead. Now look at chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. You see, he died for our sin. Sin demands a payment. We could not pay it. The Lord Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. And he died for our sin according to Scripture, but he lives. Look at verse 18. Revelation 1, verse 18. I'm he that liveth. Oh, I was dead. Our sin demanded death. The guilty must die. The Lord died because he was guilty of our sin. Behold, he said, I'm alive forevermore, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He's alive forevermore. What do you say to that? Amen. Amen. And he says, I have the keys of hell and death. If you have the keys to something, I have the keys in my pocket to a brown Ford truck right out there. And I have the keys to it because I own it. I bought it. I chose it. I bought it. I paid for it. It's mine. I'm going to drive it home. The Lord Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death. He has the key to the grave. That's what hell there means. He has the key to the grave. How are you going to get out of the grave? I mean, one of these days you're going to take me, this body, and I'm going to take your body, and we're going to dig a hole, and we're going to put your body in a hole. How are you going to get out of that hole? Do you have a key? Do you have authority? I can't go to your grave and unlock it. I can't dig you up and make your bones live. He has the keys of hell and death. He has the right and the authority. And by his grace, he's going to call his people out of the grave in that resurrection morning. He has the keys of hell and death. He's the first begotten from the dead. And he ever lived to intercede for us. That was a message as we studied through the book of Acts. Through the book of Acts, the message of the early church was, you killed him. You crucified the Prince of Life. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. His resurrection is a guarantee of ours. He said, because I live, you're going to live. You're going to live. Now, and he says furthermore, he says, the prince of the kings of the earth. In Revelation 19, he describes himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter where the king reigns in any earthly kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King and Lord of that man. And he's in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord manipulates and turns them according to his own sovereign will. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Now, this one who is a faithful witness, this one who defeated death, hell, and the grave, this one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, is the one who has loved us and washed us from our sins. Now, he is the Almighty Savior. It's unto him who loved us. We only love him because he first loved us. Jeremiah said he's loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he said, I draw you to myself. He has loved us. He loved us in that eternal covenant of grace. His love is sovereign love. Jacob have I loved. Esau I loved less. That's not what it says. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He will have mercy on whom he will, and he'll love whom he will. His love is not only sovereign love, his love is sacrificial love. Unto him who loved us and washed us, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. He loved us. And he loved us so much that he gave himself for our sins. He purchased and bought us with his own blood. We are redeemed. He obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. He loved us and still does. He washed us so thoroughly, so completely, so totally that God said their sin and their iniquity, I don't remember anymore. As far as the east is from the west, I've separated you from your sin. This is all that he has done for us. This redemption was accomplished at Calvary and applied to our heart by regenerating grace. Being confident of this very thing, God who has begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. There's that Alpha, the Omega, the beginning. God who has begun a good work in you will do what? Finish it. Finish it. Finish it. And then he says, he's made us. He's made us kings. Now by nature we're poor, beggarly sinners. He's made us kings unto our God. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. We're kings and priests unto God. He's made us a priest. We have full access to the throne of grace. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Back under the law, who had access to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement? Only the high priest. That veil has been rent in two. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace as I've made you a priest of God. Oh, have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Now who gets the glory? To him be glory. God forbid, Paul said, I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his glory and dominion, power and dominion, forever and ever, he saves us with an everlasting salvation. Now, what do you say to that? I say what it says right there. Amen. I say amen. Here we clearly see again that salvation is all of the Lord. All of the Lord. To him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever. Now look at verse 7. Behold, behold. Now stop and take a good look at this. Behold, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Behold, he cometh. Behold, the King cometh. He comes with clouds, clouds of glory, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, even so, amen. When is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back? I have no idea. Behold, he cometh. He's on his way. Turn to the last chapter. Revelation 22, the last chapter. He cometh. All the Old Testament scriptures, they say someone's coming. Someone's coming. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they say he is come. And the epistles say the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Coming again. Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus Christ. He's on his way. Our Lord said in John 14 to his disciples before he went to the cross, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I was looking at this verse earlier this morning. It came to my mind. Let me just read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, as it appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord is coming back. We have no need to know the time when the Lord is coming back. Now, why do men make endless speculations as to when the Lord is coming back? The only reason they do that is draw attention to themselves. We're not looking for a date, a time, and a place. We're looking for the Lord who is coming back. We're looking for Him who is coming back. We're going to study in 1 Thessalonians 5, where the apostle said of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So, you don't need to know. I don't need to know. Because we're only looking for Him who is coming. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the Son who is coming back to receive us unto Himself. Will He come? Absolutely. You remember in Acts chapter 1 when we studied, when the risen Lord departed those apostles and the angel appeared and said this as they saw Him ascend to heaven. After 40 days in His risen body, He ascended to heaven. And those messengers said, this same Jesus, whom you see go away, will come again in like manner as you see Him go. He's coming back. He's coming back. And every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. The wrath of God will abide upon every unbeliever, and they'll have to face the God of judgment without a substitute, Jesus Christ. His second coming will not be any secret thing. A lot of people talking about a secret rapture. The Bible doesn't know anything about that. It says here, every eye shall see Him when He comes back the second time. His enemies will wail because of Him. Matter of fact, in that day, if you want to read with me, you can. In that day, when the Lord comes back, when the heaven departed as a scroll, chapter 6, verse 14 and following, every mountain and isle will be moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountain and rock, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? What a strange prayer meeting. They'll call out to the rocks and the mercy and the mountains to hide us from Him that is coming. They don't cry out unto the Lord for mercy and grace to help in time of need. Well, in closing, let me give you this. Verse 8, again, he repeats this statement. I am Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come, the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Now think about this statement for just a moment. Alpha is the A, Omega is the Z, the whole alphabet. The Lord Jesus Christ in our salvation, He is the beginning, He's the end. The Alpha, the Omega. Of all of our salvation. All the Scripture, He's the beginning of it, He's the end of it. The law of God, He's the beginning of it, He's the lawgiver. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In creation, He created all things, and one day He will end it when He makes a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's the Alpha and Omega of all things. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory both now and forever. And the next word says, Amen. So be it. So be it. Well, we'll pick up there next time with verse 9.